89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. But with AI tools popping up everywhere, how do you separate the helpful from the hype? The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. With over 15 years of experience building responsible, secure AI, Grammarly isn't just another AI communication assistant. It's how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. Designed to fit the needs of business, Grammarly is backed by a user-first privacy policy and industry-leading security credentials. This means you won't have to worry about the safety of your company information. Grammarly also emphasizes responsible AI, so your company can avoid harmful bias. See why 70,000 teams and 30 million people trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise. That's grammarly.com/enterprise. Grammarly, enterprise-ready AI.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans.
$829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. We are so glad you're here as a part of the show, and we are getting set for the national championship game on Monday. And if you are a Big 12 football fan, meaning your team obviously is nowhere near this championship game, obviously many conferences aren't, most aren't, but if you're a Big 12 fan, you should be rooting for Ohio State on Monday night, and I'll explain why. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. We're glad you're here as always. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel, and we'll take you through the show here. So you might think to yourself, wait, why would I want to root for Ohio State? Why would I want to root for one of the Blue Bloods? When I could root for Notre Dame, they're kind of independent. They're kind of tied to the ACC. The Big 12 has more in common with the ACC than it does, say, the SEC or the Big 10 right now. Shouldn't we theoretically root for the little guy? I know it's weird to think of Notre Dame as the little guy, but they are a big underdog, and in this case, they are the little guy. And the answer is no. Ohio State's the team that Big 12 fans should be rooting for here. And there are really three reasons why. Number one, Will Howard. Will Howard's the Ohio State quarterback. He was, of course, the Kansas State quarterback for years. Will Howard going to Ohio State, winning the starting job, and potentially winning a national championship makes the Big 12 look really good. It makes the Big 12 look like, wait, there are quarterbacks there that with the right talent around them can win a national championship. That's what it tells you. Now, if you're looking at this and you're like, well, Will Howard only is there because of the talent around him. He kind of admitted that. It was a quote from Will Howard when he went to Ohio State. He said, I don't have to do everything. That's true. But guess what? That's been true for a lot of Ohio State quarterbacks who have gone on to play in the NFL. And the reality is, if Kansas State had Ohio State's roster, Kansas State might be playing for a national championship. That's how it works. But when you plug and play a Big 12 quarterback with an elite roster, those Big 12 quarterbacks can win you national championships. So it makes the Big 12 look good if one of their quarterbacks goes to a Big 10 powerhouse for a year and wins the national championship. That is a win for the Big 12 conference because there were plenty of games where Will Howard struggled in the Big 12. Right? I mean, we saw plenty of those games. Now, he was really good, obviously, but we saw plenty of games like that over the years for Will Howard. Now, he's had a pretty darn good season at Ohio State. I don't want to say he's the reason they're in this game, but the guy's had a good year. Let's not take that away from him. But the last time we saw him on the field, he was pretty mediocre against Iowa State in a K-State uniform in that Farmageddon matchup to wrap up the 2023 season. Now, that game was obviously Snowmageddon too, but still, like, he struggled against Oklahoma State last year, even in a win against Texas Tech last year. I just looked it up. He had a QBR of 36 in that game. So this would be a good thing for the Big 12, and it's a feather in the Big 12's cap. Now, the other reason that Big 12 fans should be rooting for Ohio State in this game is, frankly, it knocks the SEC off the top of its perch. Now, you might be of the belief that who cares? The SEC and the Big Ten want to break off anyway. It doesn't matter which one's one and which one's two. I don't believe that. The SEC is under this mantra and this guise that they are number one and nobody could ever come close. Ohio State winning after the SEC is left out of the championship game for a second straight season, for the first time in 20 years that they've missed back-to-back national championship games, is a good thing for the Big 12. It's a good thing for all of college football. And if Ohio State takes home the natty, the argument from the SEC fanboy of, well, the Big 10 might be deeper, but we've got the better teams at the top, is just simply not true. Now, I haven't believed that that has been true for a long time, but it goes to show you that even the SEC, the bottom of the SEC, which has argued for a long time that, you know, our teams are only at the bottom of the SEC, but they would be at the top of the fill in the blank, Big 10, ACC, Big 12. That's just not true. In fact, you can make a better case for that in the Big 10 right now. Look at how some of the bowl games played out, right? Look what Michigan did to Alabama. That's a game that nobody really saw coming. So that one stands out to me when you go back and you look at some of how these bowl games played out during the season, right? I mean, you know, Penn State obviously was right there with Notre Dame at the very end. If Ohio State wins, you know, you have a great case that the Big Ten at the very top, Oregon, Penn State, Ohio State, throw in Indiana if you want, was more top-heavy than the SEC and deeper than the SEC. You had Illinois beating South Carolina, another team that thought it was worthy of reaching the college football playoff. So knocking the SEC off the top of its perch is a good thing for the Big 12. Because then it's not cut and dry that it's the SEC, and then it's the Big 10, and then it's everybody else. So that's why that's also a good deal for the Big 12. And then the other reason I can't root for Notre Dame from a Big 12 perspective is because, now let's be clear, I like Marcus Freeman a lot more than Ryan Day. But if we're just looking at this from a pure Big 12 perspective, you've got to look at it and say to yourself, you don't want Notre Dame to win because of how Notre Dame sets up its scheduling. They're kind of in the ACC. They're mostly not in the ACC. They set up their own schedule. They don't have to play in a conference championship game. And they get all the money from the playoff wins to themselves. They don't have to share it with anybody else. What have we long complained about in the SEC? What we've long complained about in the SEC is that the SEC plays these 8 conference games. They do 4 non-conferences. It's a joke. They have the one in November that's just comical, and they never get called out for it. We call them out, but most people in college football don't call them out for it. So if Notre Dame gets a national championship, do you think they're going to be emboldened to change how they structure their season? Do you think they're going to feel forced into a conference if they win a national championship? Of course they're not going to feel that way. They're going to say, this is a great formula. All the money comes to us. Assuming we go 11-1, we probably make the playoff. We might have to even be able to go 10-2 some years and make the playoff. So no, we are not going to join a conference. We're not going to share the money. We're not going to schedule more ACC teams. We're going to keep our rivalries, and you know, they get all the military academies. And with all due respect, it's a nice schedule. It's not the toughest schedule, and anybody with common sense knows that and can admit that. So then what does that mean in return? What that means in return is that the SEC is not going to be in any way pressured to toughening its own schedule and going to 9 conference games. Why would they? Notre Dame is getting rewarded for the way it schedules, right? Under the guise of history and, oh, well, we've got to keep our traditional rivals. Why? The entire sport has largely lost traditional rivals, right? I mean, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State don't play anymore. the fact that Notre Dame gets to get away with this whole thing of, well, you know, we've got to play the traditional rivals, that's very important to us, that left in college football a very long time ago. But it allows them, with all due respect, to schedule the Purdues and the Northern Illinois, but more importantly, you know, the Stanfords, the Navies, the Armies, the Air Forces, and then they kind of sprinkle in a couple of ACC teams and away you go. And they get away with it. And if they win a national championship, they will not be changing a damn thing. And as a result, the SEC won't be changing a damn thing, which tells me then the Big 12 should just say, you know what, we're going to go to 8 conference games. Why do you guys get away with 8 conference games? And on the other hand, you know, you've got a team in Notre Dame that plays a handful of ACC teams just to kind of pretend to be in a conference, but not really be in a conference. It's totally ludicrous, but it's also very much on brand for, you know, what they do and how they've structured that thing. The Big Ten, at least, is playing 9 conference games. You give them that much, right? The Big 12 and the Big Ten are the two conferences that play 9 conference games. The ACC and the SEC play 8. So I will root for the conference that can knock the SEC off its perch, that also plays 9 conference games and a conference championship. That's the team I will root for on Monday night, and that team is Ohio State. I'm Pete Mundo. We are HeartlandCollegeSports.com. We are glad that you are here and joining us, as always, as a part of the show.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans.
$829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Now with that, let's talk some basketball here on Heartland College Sports. So Saturday, I told you that there were 3 games where you had 5-0 teams in the Big 12 playing 3-2 teams in the Big 12. And what ended up happening? Well, we I would say we did get the chaos we thought we were going to get. West Virginia upsets number 2 Iowa State. Then you had, well, not in this order, but you also had Texas Tech upsetting, at the time, 5-0 Arizona. And UCF almost upset Houston, who was 5-0. Houston comes back, late layup, they win by 1 point. And they're 6-0, and they're now alone atop the Big 12 standings. But I said late last week, right here on the show, that, you know, you had to keep an eye on those 5-0 teams because they each played a 3-2 team in the conference. And what did we see the first 2.5-3 weeks of Big 12 play? We thought we saw a clear separation at the top of the conference. And just when you get suckered in, and I was getting there, I was talking about it on the show. Once you get suckered into this world of thinking maybe the Big 12, and I still don't think it has the depth that it's had in recent years. There's some bad basketball at the bottom of this conference. But when you thought that top tier was really going to break down to 2, maybe 3 teams, suddenly things change. Suddenly now you've got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You've got really 7 teams within a game or so of each other. And that is something that, you know, we weren't sure we were going to get as of middle of last week. We thought this thing might be pulling away with Houston, Iowa State, and Arizona, and then maybe a Kansas in the mix as well. But now, you've got 6, 7 teams, 8 teams right there in the thick of it as we get towards the back half of January. And that sets up for a thrilling 6 weeks or so of Big 12 basketball all the way through the Big 12 tournament, which of course is taking place in Kansas City in the middle of March. So Saturday had all the makings of maybe a ho-hum day, and instead, while the NFL playoffs were going on, we got some great chaos. All right, that's exactly what we got. And for West Virginia, you continue to be impressed. At least I continue to be very impressed with the backcourt. You think about Javon Small, and this guy has been all over the map, right? I mean, he's one of these guys that you're like, wait, he's still playing college hoops? Yeah, he's a senior. He's had himself a lengthy career, but he's capping it off in a very impressive way with West Virginia. East Carolina, goes to Oklahoma State, now wrapping up his career at West Virginia. And man, he is just, he was awesome on Saturday. He is the reason the Mountaineers won that game on Saturday and pulled off the upset at home. You only had one other player in double figures, but then you also had a defense that was tremendous. You got to the free throw line more frequently. And even though you were out-rebounded, you know, this team was hustling all game long, forced a lot of turnovers, and they were able to finish at the rim, and they played some tough basketball at home against a very good Iowa State team. And that's what this game was about. But Iowa State clearly is now lacking some depth with the injury they're dealing with. So that is something that has to be, you know, closely watched. They obviously got by Kansas earlier in the week, but now you're starting to see potentially some of the issues that Iowa State may be dealing with in the weeks ahead in the Big 12 Conference. Meantime, Houston having a comeback against UCF, that is not one I thought we were going to be talking about here. But listen, UCF has been sneaky good under Johnny Dawkins these first couple of years in the Big 12. You've got to say that UCF, between last year and this year, has been one of the big surprises when you combine both seasons. They just play you tough, right? And I thought that was going to be one of the staple wins you had last year when Johnny Dawkins and the Knights upset Kansas early in the Big 12 schedule, and that was just a stunner. I thought this game was going to be similar. If they were able to finish it off, they weren't. And it's just because in the end, you know, Houston was able to come back. They've got the experience. They've got the backcourt. Juwan Roberts, obviously, played really well. And they were just able to eke out of there with victory. But, man, UCF continues to be a team that you just can't overlook. You can't do it. And then Texas Tech, frankly, I mean, just taking it to Arizona. Arizona felt like a team that was due. They had never played, obviously, a Big 12 game in Lubbock. It's a tough place to play. And Texas Tech, led by JT Toppin, had a very good afternoon, despite the fact that they couldn't buy a bucket from deep. I mean, they were terrible from long range. The good news for them is nobody could buy a three-pointer. I saw this stat. Both teams combined were 9 of 41 from three-point range. That's like a bad NBA game. It was horrible. But Tech killed Arizona on the boards, pulled away with the win, and it was just a very good Texas Tech victory, as they had been on the cusp, obviously. You know, we saw them almost beat Iowa State last weekend. Now they beat, at the time, an undefeated in Big 12 play Arizona team, and Texas Tech is going to be there in the thick of the Big 12 race down the stretch. There's no doubt about it. Not a question about it. And then you look around the Big 12, and you have Utah taking care of BYU. Holy War goes to overtime. What more can you ask for in that game? Oklahoma State gets Big 12 win number 2 over Colorado, who's still winless in conference play. Cincinnati and Arizona, that game won by Cincinnati. Arizona State. Cincinnati beating Arizona State 67-60. And Dylan Mitchell led the way there with his 14 points, had himself a very good day. And Arizona State under Bobby Hurley, man, they have got a lot of runway to work with there, but it is not clicking for Arizona State right now. And then Kansas beats Kansas State. KU got out to like a 14-0 lead in the first half in that game, and then just basically held on to its lead. They didn't cover the spread. I think it was like 15 points. But what was interesting about this game is that I saw this little tidbit on X. I thought it was a really interesting point. So KJ Adams didn't play in the game. He's dealing with an injury. He's listed as week to week after hurting his shoulder against Iowa State earlier in the week. Kansas had its best offensive output when it comes to points per possession, but their worst defensive output this season on points per possession. So KJ is there largely for his defense. He can score you a bucket here and there, but he's not going to be the guy that fills up the stat sheet when it comes to points, at least. So not having him there hurt the defense, but you can make the case that without KJ Adams in the lineup, the offense gets moving a little bit more. It's got more pace and more rhythm to it. So that's kind of a conundrum if that holds up in the games ahead for Bill Self as he tries to figure out what kind of rotation, what kind of lineup he wants to use to get this team back into the national championship mix. Pete Mundo on Heartland College Sports. So this week, we don't have any games on Monday. It's been weird. There have not been a lot of Monday games in the Big 12 yet. That'll pick up in the weeks ahead. But because of the national championship game, there's no Big Monday. There's no Big 12 games. I don't even know if there's any college basketball on Monday. But you've got a loaded slate on Tuesday, and then you've got a handful of games on Wednesday as well. But when you look ahead at the schedule this week, UCF at Iowa State is now somewhat intriguing. Utah at Houston, not a bad game. West Virginia hosting Arizona State. Do they avoid a letdown? Arizona tries to get back on track at Oklahoma State. BYU in Colorado. Texas Tech at Cincinnati is And then on Wednesday night, you've got Kansas at TCU and Kansas State at Baylor. So there's not a great couple of games midweek in the Big 12, but it's tough when you got to mix and match these 16 teams to make it work. Jonathan writes, UCF basketball is underrated, so is Tech and West Virginia. Yeah, we saw Tech and West Virginia, obviously, pull off upsets on Saturday. UCF nearly did it. But those three games really define what we saw this weekend in the Big 12. I'm Pete Mundo. We're Heartland College Sports. We're glad you're here. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel. Hit that thumbs up if you're on YouTube and drop us a 5-star rating and review, as always, on the podcast. We appreciate you guys. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon, and go Big 12.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Maybe too close.
Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.